Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Map Chat. I'm your host, Ace Diamond, and tonight we have a very, very exciting, very special show. And I am joined right now by my co-host, Miss Callie.
Good evening, Ace. Ladies and gentlemen, if you were not in Fairfield this Saturday night, not only did you miss one hell of a show, but oh my God. A, the crowd was absolutely amazing. I have to say that. We would not be where we are today without the NWF Army, and they were out in droves. And it never ceases to amaze me the love and the loyalty that those fans show us. So, off the bat, thank you to the NWF Army. But the action was off the charts all night, from our Fairfield Pizza bonus match through the Rumble itself, which I cannot wait to talk about that, but we're going to hit everything else first because we have a very special guest coming on tonight. Let's kick it off. Let's talk about some of the matches that we saw this Saturday in Fairfield, because, like I said, the action was incredible, and you had a ringside seat to see it.
Yes, I did, and you are absolutely right. I don't even think incredible is a strong enough word to describe the action this past Saturday night.
It really wasn't, but that's the best word I could come up with offhand. So, but yes, the action was amazing, incredible, stupendous, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. There's the word for you.
Absolutely. Some of the best action I've ever seen.
In our pre-show match, we saw the more recently formed tag team of the Bronze Swingers, the team of the Bronze God, Danny Todd, and the Swinger, Jerry Fitzgerald, taking on former NWF Tag Team Champions, the Natty Boys. And that was hard-hitting. It was action back and forth. And for a team that is as newly formed as the Bronze Swingers are, they are clicking on all cylinders, picking up what, in my eyes, to an extent, you would have to almost consider an upset victory. I mean, they took on Dustin Jobs and Stewie Staggs, who have teamed together for years now. They're former tag team champions. They know each other almost as well as any two people could know each other. And
absolutely,
for the Bronze Swingers to pick up that victory,
I would definitely have to classify that as a major upset.
I mean, no offense to Danny Todd and Jerry Fitzgerald, but they are a newer tag team, so the fact that they could get that victory says a lot. And I don't always agree with their tactics, but I have to say congratulations to them on that victory, even though I think there were a few underhanded tactics there. We saw the debut in the NWF of Ballistic Brent Myers as he took on the relentless Ron Mathis. Now, this is the first time I've ever seen Brent Myers in action. I've seen Ron Mathis on a number of occasions. I know Ron Mathis. He's a very hard-hitting, very nose-to-the-grindstone. He's going to take it to you. And Ron Mathis never ceases to amaze me, though, the way he gets his victory sometimes.
Yeah, I've been following Mathis's career for 10 or 11 years now. Yeah, he seems to reinvent himself every few years, and I kind of like this current incarnation. And yeah, he's very hard hitting, very skilled. But I will say that even in a losing effort, ballistic Brent Myers really impressed me.
Oh, absolutely. I take nothing away from that young man. He definitely took it to Mathis rather frequently in that match. And while I won't say Mathis was lucky to walk away with the win, because Mathis had the experience, he had the support of the fans, and he's Ron Mathis. I mean, what else can you say? In all honesty, and I mean, I know Mathis is a well-rounded wrestler, but I don't think in the multitude of times that I have seen Mathis wrestle, I don't ever think I've seen him submit somebody. And that is exactly how he did it this past Saturday. And I was like, and the fact that he got that big man up on his shoulders for that submission was just, I was impressed.
Yeah, that was very impressive.
Both men
like
went out.
Said,
they showed
that was a big man to get up on his shoulders.
Absolutely, both men showed a lot of heart, a lot of energy, a lot of just true determination out there, and I applaud both competitors because they both did a fantastic job. As far as I was concerned with that match. And I look forward to seeing Ron Mathis again, and I hope we get to see more of Brent Myers in the NWF. Then we got to see the man who ended the streak of the Homie Don't Play That challenge, none other than Austin Tyler Morris, come out there. And who comes out to interrupt him? None other than True Grit, the master and ruler of the DDT, Bruce Gray. Somebody who came very, very close. I mean, within seconds of defeating Pompano Joe in that Homie Don't Play That challenge. He came out and basically challenged Austin Tyler Morris right then and there for a match. Jumped from behind, which with Bruce Gray, God love him, that is not a surprise.
Absolutely not.
Bruce Gray is one of those guys. He's a very talented individual. He's a very crafty individual. He doesn't necessarily need the cheap tactics, but he's obviously shown they're not beneath him either. And in what I will call a very sketchy victory, because we did see Pompano Joe come out there with that radio again to distract Austin Tyler Morris. And
distracting me, blasted him in the head with it.
Well, yeah, but I mean, initially it was just a distraction because he did get the better of him initially.
Initially,
he did
yes.
get the better of Pompano initially. But then when the ref's back was turned, you're right, he did. He blasted ATM, and I don't think we've seen the last of those two.
I would say not.
That's definitely not the first time Pompano Joe has attacked ATM. He's done it in Fairfield. He's done it in Ludlow. I want to say I believe he's done it in Covington. And he attacked him after he defeated him in the Homie Don't Play That challenge. So, yeah, I would say ATM's probably got a huge bone to pick with Pompano Joe. And I think that's going to come to a head in the coming months. And I can't wait to see Pompano Joe get exactly what he deserves.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
We saw the genuine superstar, Anthony Bryant, take on newcomer James Cooper, who the poor kid didn't stand a chance. I mean, I'm sorry he didn't.
No, he did not.
Anthony Bryan has a chip on his shoulder and he has a point to make. And I want to say he made his point loud and clear, because not only did he hit the catatonic for the 1-2-3 on James Cooper, he went to hit it again after the match. And we heard that all too familiar music as Wildcat Chris Harris came to the ring. Not only did he save James Cooper from taking multiple catatonics, he went straight after the genuine superstar. Got him up for that catatonic. Anthony Bryan did manage to wiggle his way free and avoid getting his just desserts, especially for not only what he's done in the past few months with regards to James, what he tried to do to James Cooper, what he has done to guys like Rudy Rodriguez, what he did to Wildcat Chris Harris himself. So, you know, Chris Harris isn't the young rookie guy that he used to be. But I'm going to tell you now, he knows the tricks, he knows the ins and outs, he knows how to use the rules to his advantage when he needs to. And I have a feeling when he gets his, once he gets his hands on Anthony Bryant will regret the day he attacked Wildcat Chris Harris.
I would definitely agree with that. And the one thing I have to say about that match, James Cooper may not have come up with the victory. As a matter of fact, he pretty much got his butt kicked the entire match. But I will have to, I do have to say, that kid has an impressive physique.
He does. He reminds me of somebody else we know that I'm going to leave nameless at this point.
I know who you're talking about, and yeah, he kind of does remind me of that person too.
Exactly. We then got to see Mr. Right Now, Andrew Reed, who decided to grace everybody with his singing skills. As he sang his way to the ring.
Yeah, I wish he hadn't done that.
Well, this, that point aside, Jesse Hyde goes to come to the ring, the man who truly is Fairfield's favorite son. And Andrew Reed seemingly, and I'm going to emphasize seemingly, exited the ring and said he had a rumble to get ready for and he had no interest at that point in time in fighting Jesse Hyde. He would see him in the rumble. So Jesse Hyde being the very fun-loving, very generous person that he is, decided to party with the NWF Army, what he calls the Rockaholics, and grace us with his singing skills. As he makes his way to the back, goes to go through the curtain, he is then attacked by Andrew Reed, who pretty well just beat on him the whole way back to the ring. I don't even really know if you want to call that a match as much as I would call that a mugging. Andrew Reed, I think, walked out perhaps vindicated. Again, I don't think we've seen the end of that, because I have a feeling Jesse Hyde's not going to take that laying down, and I'm sure he will have a lot to say with regards to Andrew Reed's actions. And Andrew Reed has a lot to answer for as of late, and folks, you need to stay tuned to the NWF to find out all that's going on in those situations.
Yeah, that's
on a night
that's gonna
go ahead.
Explode. That's gonna explode in a big way very soon, and I can't wait to be there to see it.
That makes two of us. On a night where we've seen multiple returns, we saw the return of Ron Mathis, we saw the return of Bruce Gray. We also saw the return of the gentleman that calls himself The Hook, Jeremiah, taking on Christopher Michael Lotus. Two individuals who, again, know each other rather well. They were as close as brothers at one point. And it was exactly what we said it was going to be. It was going to be very hard-hitting, very, in a lot of ways, very personal. And those two fought back and forth. It was at times very hard to watch because they really legitimately beat the hell out of one another.
Yeah, that was brutal. I loved every second of it, though.
Absolutely. Then at one point, a miscue. Referee Brian Barton was taken out. And at that point, Jeremiah used to his advantage a chair that Brian Barton had taken from him earlier. He used that chair to hit Christopher Michael Lotus to basically take the cheap way out to pick up a win. And, well, I have to say it. A pissed off Christopher Michael Lotus is a dangerous Christopher Michael Lotus. And Jeremiah better watch his back.
And that's an extremely pissed off Christopher Michael Lotus.
You think?
I would think.
There's no other way to say it. But folks, the match, oh, absolutely far from over. The match that everybody wants to talk about, the match that I am dying to talk about, is the NWF Rumble itself. Now, before we bring on our special guest, I do want to send my best, Justin Lane, who was attacked and brutalized in that Rumble and taken out by Big Rex. He was actually stretchered out after he was eliminated. So my thoughts and wishes to Justin Lane. Hope you're doing better. Can't wait to see you back. But the person I am dying to talk to, the person our very special guest this evening, she is none other, and yes, I said she, none other than the 2019 NWF Rumble winner, Nikki Victory. Nikki, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Not a whole lot. Nikki,
welcome
how are you
to
tonight?
The show.
Thank you.
Nikki, you entered the Rumble at number 29. Now, first off, being in that Rumble, what was that like for you, especially coming in surrounded by some of the people that were still in that match at that time, guys like David Tyler, Muldoon, Jay Donaldson, some rough individuals?
I mean, knowing who all was still remaining in the match, I'm not going to lie, I was pretty nervous coming out, but, you know, I still had to be confident because, you know, with all of those odds stacked against me, I knew it wasn't going to be easy. I mean, we had, I think it was pretty much every member of the protected ones out there. So, I mean, that was definitely my biggest challenge.
Absolutely. There was every member but one who we thought was given the night off. Roger Ruffin came out. Yeah. Roger Ruffin came out as number 30. Obviously, both you and Roger Ruffin, two of the biggest fan favorites, along with Josh Adams, that were still in that match at that time. Then Nate Kelly comes out to say, we had mistakenly advertised a 30-man Rumble. It was actually 31. Out comes the NWF champion. Now you have all of the protected ones out there. And that is a dangerous situation for anybody. Those men are as thick as thieves and underhanded as can be.
Oh, yeah, for sure. They'll do whatever it takes to win.
We saw elimination after elimination. We saw Josh eliminated. We saw David and Tyler and Muldoon eliminated. It came down to the final four being Jay Donaldson, Ryan Stone, Josh Adams, and yourself. And I thought things were looking pretty good. You know, we saw Josh when he eliminated Jay. We saw Ryan Stone take the shot and eliminate Josh, leaving you alone with probably somebody that I would consider one of the most dangerous individuals to be standing across that ring from in Ryan Stone. When you saw that it was down to just you and Ryan, what was going through your mind at that time when you realized it was just you two left in there?
When I saw that it was just the two of us, I knew right then that I had to do whatever was in my power to win the match. Because at that point, like, I've made it this far. It's the NWF champion. Like, the odds were stacked against me. But when I saw that Ryan was distracted, you know, by Nate, Roger, and I had to take the opportunity. It was right there. I mean, it couldn't have been a better opportunity right then to get the win.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you definitely had the backing of the NWF fans. I don't think I have ever, in all of the years that I have been at those shows in that building in Fairfield, I don't think I have ever heard a crowd that loud and behind any one person as much as they were behind you.
That was the greatest feeling. It really was.
When you dumped Ryan Stone over that top rope, which I have to admit, I enjoyed watching that. I enjoyed watching the champion fall. And you heard not only the ring announcer announcing you as the 2019 Rumble winner, you heard that reaction from the crowd. What kind of emotions were you having at that moment, realizing that you were now going to have that number 8 spot in Thunderdome? You have a shot to become the NWF champion.
Oh, my goodness. At that moment, I was feeling about every emotion that there is to feel. You know, I was excited. I was shocked. I was happy. I mean, it was mind-blowing. I mean, I don't think anybody thought that I could actually do it. And just, you know, to hear them announce it and to know that it actually did, it was just one of the greatest feelings I've ever felt.
Now, speaking of things that are coming up, like I said, you're going to have that number 8 spot in Thunderdome. I've seen what you've went through. I've seen what Big Mama has went through in order to make strides in the NWF, not just as women, but as competitors. And to know that you are the first, the absolute first woman to compete in Thunderdome. What does that mean for you, and how do you feel that's going to affect really what's becoming a very blossoming women's division in the Northern Wrestling Federation?
I think this is one of the big moments of, you know, the start of the women of the NWF. I mean, we've worked our butts off day in and day out, and I think this is a big eye-opener for a lot of people watching. I mean, I feel like sometimes, you know, the women are underestimated. You know, they don't think that we can hold our own against the guys. And, I mean, I think this was one of the big first steps that we need. And I really don't think I could have done it, you know, without the help of Big Mama. She's the one who, you know, paved the way for me. So it's just such a great feeling.
Well, I have to say, I completely support everything that you and Big Mama are trying to do right now, that you're actually both accomplishing. I mean, you're our 2019 Rumble winner. You're going to be the first woman to compete in Thunderdome. You're competing for the Northern Wrestling Federation Championship. So you know Ryan Stone's going to be in there. And obviously in the coming weeks, we're going to learn who the other 6 competitors are going to be in that match. You've had a chance. You saw it last. You've seen how it works. So you know it's grueling. Nobody ever walks out of that match the same.
That's
then,
what I've been told, but I know odds are going to be stacked against me, but I'm going to be training every day. I'm going to be working my butt off to be ready for this match because it means that much to me.
Well, while you may be what a lot of people are going to consider the underdog in that match, I have absolute faith that you are going to make one hell of an impact. Whether you win Thunderdome or whether you don't, you are going to and have made such an impact, not only for women in wrestling in this company, but to the fans.
Thank you, Callie. That means a lot to me.
I sat there and I watched those fans. I watched them cheer and holler and scream when you were so close, when you were right there, just about to win the Rumble. And I heard them, once they announced you as the winner, when they saw Rhinestone topple over that top rope and his feet hit the floor, I truly thought the roof was going to come flying off that place. And that is not an easy task by far. And for me, that was absolutely amazing to be a witness to. But you've got some challenges coming up. Speaking of challenges, this Saturday, we head to the historic Ludlow Theater in Ludlow, Kentucky. And standing in front of you on that night is none other than a member of the Protected Ones, Rhinestone's best friend, a person that's going to do anything he can to ensure Rhinestone keeps that title, in the self-proclaimed 22-year-old stud, Jay Donaldson.
Yeah, this Saturday, if Jay and I go toe-to-toe once again, I'm sure it'll, you know, he'll be just like he has every other time. You know, he's always trying to pull a fast one. But I'm starting to learn his ways. I know I start to know what's coming and when. And like I said, I've been training. I think Jay seems to be very full of himself. He seems to get a little distracted sometimes. So I think I might use those to, you know, I think those are going to be my advantages.
Oh, absolutely. And take every advantage you can when it comes to taking on somebody like Jay Donaldson, because, like you said, he is very full of himself, but he's somebody that knows how to use the rules to his advantage when it comes to breaking them.
Oh, for sure. He's very talented, but he also seems to get distracted sometimes.
I would definitely watch for those moments and take full advantage. But Nikki, I really honestly, I want to thank you for coming on here tonight. I want to wholeheartedly congratulate you on an amazing win at the Rumble. I cannot wait to see if we crown our very first women's NWF champion at Thunderdome. And I'm going to be so pulling for you this Saturday in the Ludlow Theater in Ludlow, Kentucky. Folks, be sure you join us. Nikki Victory, I'm sure you're going to be ready for that night.
Oh,
and I will
I'm ready.
See you in London.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
Ace Diamond.
Miss Callie. Such a well-spoken young lady.
Yes, she is. Folks, if you want to see her in action, remember, this Saturday night, the historic Ludlow Theater in Ludlow, Kentucky. Doors open at 6:30 with a 7:30 bell time. Ace Diamond, have a good night.
Miss Kelly, you do the same. Ladies and gentlemen, be sure to join me this Friday night as Matt Chat celebrates 10 years. Have a good night, everybody.